Two more names have reportedly been added to the New York Giants head coaching shortlist, and we're here to react to that today. According to Diana Russini of The Athletic, the Giants are also placing in the mix Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, who was notably absent from the list that Jordan Brandon reported yesterday, and the second name being former New York Jets head coach and current San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Two very interesting, very different names here being added to the list according to this report from Diana Russini, and we want to react to it because you guys know I really like Clint Kubiak. This is a name that I wanted to see placed on the Giants head coach shortlist. I wanted him to get an interview. I think he's a great offensive mind and could be kind of the Ben Johnson of this cycle, potentially. More on that in a second. And then there's Robert Saleh. That's a controversial one, and that's kind of where I want to dive in immediately, Alex, and get your take on Robert Saleh as a potential candidate for the New York Giants. So this is Fireside Giants. I'm your co-host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And again, let me get your take on Robert Saleh being one of the names now added to the Giants shortlist.
Yeah, big shortlist. Not really short anymore, is it? More of a long list. And listen, Robert Saleh and Clint Kubiak, interesting names, right? A lot of people will say, no, Robert Saleh, hate him. I get it, man. With the Jets, obviously did not live up to the expectations. But, you know, Robert Saleh, there's two things that I think he is good at. He's good at being that CEO archetype. He's kind of a good leader. Like, guys liked him. He just put out one of the worst offenses I've ever seen every year with the Jets. So he's the exact red flag we talked about with Shula and talked about, you know, even with a guy like Minter, like with Halfley. That plan for Jackson Dart has to be ironclad. There is no room for Adam Gase of the world. You know what I mean? Like Robert Saleh, his time with the Jets, his defense always was really good. It was his offense that was historically bad. So, you know, that's a big concern. What would his plan be? I think that would be the big question for us. And I know a lot of people are probably concerned about that.
I'm definitely concerned about it. I don't want Robert Saleh. I'll just give you my blatant opinion here. I think that would be a bad hiring. This is a guy that did not succeed in New York. It's not like he had a tough time elsewhere. He failed in New York. Many of the problems that he faced were related to his environment, to being under the New York microscope and not being able to handle that pressure. He didn't handle the media all that well. I mean, I thought he handled it quite poorly at times with the Jets. He didn't really say the right thing sometimes. He didn't really have the right demeanor. You know, like when we're talking about some of the head coaching candidates for the New York Giants, and one of the reasons why fans are just desperate for Mike Tomlin to be released by the Steelers is because, well, that guy can handle the heat, right? He can step into New York. He's familiar with being in a big media market, being the head coach of the Steelers for two decades. Pittsburgh is its own beast over there in that media market. He could come to New York and he could handle it. Robert Saleh could not handle it. He's a good example of that. Pat Shurmur almost vibes with Robert Saleh and the way that he handled the New York media. So that's one red flag for me. Then number two, you mentioned it, the offense. The Giants need to have a good offense. Finally, they've figured out something here. They're scoring touchdowns at a higher rate. Their points per game is now kind of towards the middle of the league rather than the bottom. And that's with Cam Scataboo out. That's with Malik Nabers out. They finally got this offense back on the right track. Hiring Saleh, to me, feels like taking steps backwards. It actually probably means that they would most likely retain Mike Kafka. I think that's probably what the outcome would be if they hired Saleh. But if it isn't, what's the alternative? And I'm afraid to find out what that alternative might be, because the Nathaniel Hackett saga in with the Jets organization was just an embarrassment from the outside looking in as a Giants fan. I don't care what the Jets do, but that was just embarrassing to watch all of that unfold, watch how Aaron Rodgers took control of that team in that front office and basically pushed over Robert Saleh and then pushed over Nathaniel Hackett. That doesn't scream leadership to me. I get that he's a player's coach. Players really like him. They respect him. But it didn't seem to me like fans or the media market or even ownership had that great of a respect for Robert Saleh during his time with the New York Jets. So I'm sorry that was completely negative. I didn't say anything nice about the guy, really. But this is just not a head coach that I'm interested in. I don't even want him on the shortlist. And I get why he's on there. Head coaching experience, New York head coaching experience, sure. Coaches great defenses, whatever. This is not the guy for the job, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you kind of sign up for the reality that he's going to push you around. Even I think Tomlin's probably the only guy that could stand his ground in that instance. But listen, Saleh is like, he's the exact like results of the fear we have about the other guys, as I mentioned. Like, exactly what we're terrified of, Salah is the example of that. The only thing you could say to rationalize it is that he's done it before, so we know he knows what his mistakes were, so he could fix them. I mean, listen, if you're going to have Shula, if you're going to have, you know, half the other guys that are available that, you know, have differing experiences and qualities, I do think I'd rather go with a fresh face than Salah personally. That's just my you know, personal perspective. I'd also, if I had to pick between Clint Kubiak and Salah, I'd go with Kubiak. Just because you know this dude's going to whisper to Jackson Dart's ears magic. You know what I mean? He's going to just, you're going to be super good. That type of magic. He's going to be so freaking good. You know, that's why Clint Kubiak, and he's getting a lot of steam, obviously. I think, you know, a guy that has a lineage in the NFL, I'll read you the pros and cons from my article this morning about him. The pros: Kubiak is football royalty, the son of Super Bowl winning coach Gary Kubiak, but he's carved out his own lane as a branch of the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Interestingly enough, so is Salah on the defensive side. His offensive systems are predicated on motion, deception, and making life easy for the quarterback, exactly what the Giants need to salvage their own situation with Dart. His success in Seattle and previously New Orleans proves he can adapt his scheme to his personnel. The big con is his experience. He's been a coordinator. He's never sat in the big chair, and the transition from calling plays to managing an entire roster is steep. The Giants might be wary of handing the keys to a first-time head coach, especially after the turbulence of recent years. So that's kind of the big concern with Kubiak. Can he manage the whole team? Is his play calling going to be compromised because of it? We've seen it happen. I mean, Brian Daboll's another perfect example of a guy that was supposed to be X, Y, and Z. He couldn't handle the big chair, and everything else kind of fell apart because of it. So, you know, we're just talking about these two guys for now, but, you know, why do you think Kubiak could be a good option or maybe a bad option? I think it's a gamble, just like any of these other youngsters who haven't been a head coach yet.
Kubiak certainly is a gamble, but, you know, the pros that you mentioned there, what's attractive about him is what I really like, and I do see him as having kind of a very high ceiling as a potential head coaching candidate. The guy knows how to coach quarterbacks, first and foremost. I mean, listen, Sam Darnold, his development started to really begin, I think, a couple years ago when he was in Carolina working under Josh McCown is where it really started. But then, of course, working with Kevin O'Connell last year and the Minnesota Vikings, he took major steps forward. But Sam Darnold's even better now. There was a big question mark when Sam Darnold hit free agency. It was, is he going to regress back to the mean, or is he going to continue to develop? The Seattle Seahawks, they said he's going to continue to develop because we just hired Clint Kubiak. We are going to pair him with Kubiak, and we're going to watch Sam Darnold take his game from a solid starter to an elite quarterback. And that happened this year. Not only did Sam Darnold go from solid to elite, but so did Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Jaxon Smith-Njigba had been playing in the slot for the entirety of his NFL career. Then Clint Kubiak rolled into town and said, we can make this kid even better. We can maximize his talent if we move him around the formation and don't make him exclusive to the slot. Let's move him around. Let's play him on the outside, then in the slot, then back outside. And now Jaxon Smith-Njigba, best wide receiver in football this season, better than Ja'Marr Chase and all these other cats that we talk about as being elite every year. So I think what Clint Kubiak did this season with the Seattle Seahawks, you just can't overlook it. It's, if he's not assistant coach of the year, he's going to be in contention for that because he has transformed that Seattle offense and turned that team into a powerhouse in the NFC. They really could be a Super Bowl contender this year. They could win it all, I think, because of the way that that offense is running. Of course, their defense is also tremendous. They had a great head coaching hiring this past offseason, but that head coach brought in Clint Kubiak for a reason. Develop this quarterback. Turn this young wide receiver into a star. Those two things happen, and this offense is actually statistically the most explosive offense in football. And that reminds me of some other head coaching hirings that we've seen in the past. How about Ben Johnson? He was with the Detroit Lions. They had the most explosive offense in football. Then he immediately became a quality head coach for the Chicago Bears. I think back to when Kyle Shanahan had the Atlanta Falcons as their offensive coordinator. He had them as the most explosive offense in football. Then becomes the head coach of the 49ers. He's been tremendous. So I think when you look at explosive play rate, you look at offensive coordinators that create explosive plays and also, of course, develop quarterbacks. Those are the guys that I think translate well to the head coaching job. Even Sean McVay is like the best example. When he was with Washington, he was helping develop quarterbacks and creating explosive offenses. Goes to the LA Rams, and that story's been written. We all know how amazing Sean McVay is. But that's the trait that I think you look for in an OC. Is his offense highly explosive, and does he develop quarterbacks? Everywhere that Clint Kubiak has gone, he's created an explosive offense, and he's gotten the best out of his quarterbacks. Whether you're talking about Kirk Cousins or now Sam Darnold, even last year, Spencer Rattler looked a lot better under Clint Kubiak than he does now, and in the first two games of the season, it was the most explosive start to a season for an offense in NFL history with the New Orleans Saints. I know overall that Saints tenure, that one-and-done season that he just had, is not something that you're going to look at fondly, but if you try and find the positives in it, I think Clint Kubiak did a lot of positive with that New Orleans Saints offense, finding a way to make Spencer Rattler look serviceable for the majority of that season. And again, having that hot, explosive start with Derek Carr under center before he got injured. So I just think everywhere Kubiak goes, the word that you want to look at is explosiveness. And that's the word that I look at for some of these former OCs that became head coaches. That's the trait that's made their skill set translatable to that head coaching job and help them really find success once they make that jump to the big chair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and and act like having Spencer Rattler as your quarterback is an easy task. You know, like getting anything out of Spencer Rattler is pretty damn impressive. But listen, I think that you're onto something with the guys who really understand the cutting edge of the NFL. Like Brian Daboll, that was what the Giants were trying to do with Daboll, right? They saw, wow, he developed Josh Allen. The problem with Daboll, he wasn't a good CEO type of head coach, and he didn't really innovate. He kind of just stayed put. Like his offense did not really improve. It didn't change. They kind of flip-flop play calling every year, and every year we saw the classic Brian Daboll offense, which was it was a boom or bust offense. It was either you're hitting those big bombs downfield and you're cashing 30-plus yard, you know, touchdown receptions, or you're not moving the football. So that was Brian Daboll's game, and that was Josh Allen's game, right? Like, back against the ball, he's launching that thing 60 yards to Ray Davis on a freaking rope. Like, how? It's just Josh Allen. So, you know, when you look at what the Giants are really going for now, what they could go for, Kubiak does make a lot of sense because of that offensive mastermind, because of his ability to, you know, make the most of a quarterback. And listen, Anthony, and I'll pose this question to you guys in the comments on YouTube as well. Anthony, what's the most important position in football?
The quarterback position.
Right.
There's no question.
There's no question. There's no objectivity. It is quarterback. So wouldn't it be in your best interest to hire, if you're going to hire a head coach that's your first-time head coach, wouldn't it be in the best interest to hire a coach who is going to maximize the most important position in football? Logic would say yes. That's the only counter I really have to Shula and Halfley and the defensive-minded guys, is that you are missing that link. You're missing that head coach that really is at the cutting edge like Kubiak is and knows how to whisper excellence into quarterback ears. So like that's the counter argument to the defensive mastermind.
Let me try and play a little bit of devil's advocate here, though. Who are some of the best head coaches in the NFL right now, Alex? Like, let's just name a few and then go through this exercise.
I mean, Shanahan, defensive mastermind, obviously. And then you have the McVay.
Shanahan's an offensive mastermind.
Right. Well, so, the whole tree, though, is, you know, they predicate themselves with energy and intensity, whatever it might be. I guess it just spills over. But, you know, you get Liam Cohen with the Jags.
Liam Cohen, also offensive-minded, so...
Yep.
Keep naming more.
I mean, if you want to look, I mean, Mike McDaniels was good for a minute. So, you know, on the offensive side, but not anymore.
Mike Tomlin's a defensive-minded head coach. He's failed to hire good offensive coordinators. Let's talk about some of the other ones. Mike Vrabel is a defensive-minded head coach. Yep. What did he do? He hired a great offensive coordinator. So the point that I'm trying to make here in my counter-argument is you don't necessarily need the head coach to be intertwined with the quarterback. The head coach can be defensive-minded and then bring in a really great offensive coordinator. Yep. So that's the counter-argument that I'm trying to get at here, because you look at some of the top coaches in the NFL, whether you're looking at Vrabel or somebody else, some of them are defensive-minded. D'Amico Ryans is a perfect example. That offense is good. That defense is elite. He's a defensive-minded head coach, but he's brought in some really great coaches on the offensive side of the ball. So I just think there are many ways to create a good staff, and what it just requires is not necessarily a vision from the head coach on one specific position. It's a vision from the head coach on what the rest of the staff looks like. That's the key here. You know, when we talk about Brian Daboll, did he have that vision? I don't know. I mean, he had Wink Martindale step in immediately, but that didn't pan out because he got into fights with him, the tension boiled over, whatever. That didn't pan out. Did he have a real vision here with Mike Kafka in the offense? It doesn't feel that way, considering Mike Kafka lost his play calling duties after two seasons, and then it was shared with Tierney, and then Daboll took it over and all of that. So I think what's really important is that the head coach has a vision for his staff and what that's going to look like, what the schemes are going to look like, who's going to be bringing that energy, who's the leader on both sides of the ball. That's what's crucial to me. And the argument that I will make in favor of Clint Kubiak here is he is part of that Shanahan tree that you mentioned, and those Shanahan guys who get hired, they usually do have that vision. They're able to hire some really great coordinators from that tree. And also, the other argument that I will make in favor of Kubiak in terms of having a vision for his coaching staff, well, Gary Kubiak. That's the argument right there. That familiarity of being around good football, being from a lineage, a familial lineage of great coaching and knowing what it takes to build a staff that can win a Super Bowl. So I think those are some arguments that you can make in favor of Clint Kubiak and the familiarity that he has, the networking experience that he has from his long coaching career. I think you can argue that he would be well equipped to bring in a vision for his staff and hire the right guys for the jobs.
Yeah, I mean, that is the counter, right? That's why we liked Shula, and you know, for the main reason, he's coming from the Rams. He's going to know a lot of guys. He's been working there for many, many years. So, you know, you have to assume that he's created a nice lineage of his own in this instance. Obviously, his bloodlines run heavy in the NFL. So if you're going to go with one of those young guys that haven't been a head coach yet, you're probably going with Kubiak or going with Shula. You just have to determine, okay, what's their plan for the other side of the football? Like, Clint Kubiak, what are you doing on the defensive side? Who's your primary defensive coordinator targets? Shula, what are you doing to make sure that Jackson Dart is the most equipped as possible to be that guy, right? Like, and I think that's, there's a fun debate. There's a fun debate to be had, not really between each other, because we might agree, or we might just have to play, you know, debate against each other, or against the idea. But there's a real debate to be had between Kubiak and Shula, because you look at both sides and you say, okay, well, Shula, what are you going to do for Dart? And you know what Kubiak's going to do for Dart. You know Dart is in good hands with Kubiak. But if Kubiak has a really good plan for the defensive side of the football and he can get some good guys and they feel he's ready to be a leader of men like that, there's no reason he shouldn't be up there with Shula as, you know, at the top of the line, in my opinion. I just need to know more. Shula has a very calm demeanor, though, and I think he's very analytical, strategic, and obviously he's learned a lot from his own experiences with McVay. But there's a debate to be had that you go with the offensive gamble because he's going to make Jackson Dart amazing, and then you, if he has a good plan for the defensive side of the football, maybe you strike gold there. So that's the only argument I can make against Shula. Of course, I love Shula, and I'd be happy to see the Giants hire him, barring any unforeseen things that pop up. But like, there is a debate there to be had that could be interesting.
It is an interesting debate, and I think we're kind of having it. You know, we're kind of going back and forth. Like you said, we are playing devil's advocate because I think we agree on these things. But the more that I look at it, the more that I think about all of the top coaching staffs in the NFL, who's leading them, a lot of them really are offensive-minded coaches. I think you look over at the Minnesota Vikings, they have an incredible staff. What do they have there, Alex? They have a head coach who's offensive-minded. He was a cutting-edge offensive coordinator, became the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, then hired Brian Flores. Elite defense, because he hired an elite defensive coordinator, but he is an offensive mind and he is a leader and he is a quarterback whisperer. That's the argument that you make for Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings. How about the Kansas City Chiefs? Of course, Andy Reid, one of the greatest offensive minds in all of NFL history, brings in an elite defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo. How about San Francisco 49ers? Elite offensive mind, Kyle Shanahan brings in Robert Saleh. Fun fact, Clay Kubiak is actually the offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. So that Kubiak tree, again, does run really deep. But I'm just looking at all of these top staffs, Alex, and what I keep noticing is a great elite offensive mind at the forefront, and then some great defensive coordinators running the show on that side of the ball. And I think I would argue it's easier to find it that way. It's a little bit tougher to be a great defensive mind and bring in an elite OC. It's not impossible, it happens, but it seems to me that the best staffs in football right now, an elite offensive mind who can be a CEO, of course, and manage the whole thing, but an elite offensive mind that can get the most out of the quarterback, and then hiring a defensive coordinator to just take control of that side of the ball. That is where Brian Daboll failed. That's the lesson that we need to learn. When Brian Daboll was hired, actually, you know what? Don't even look at when he was hired. Just look at this season, the start of the season with Brian Daboll. He got a lot out of Russell Wilson in week two. He got a lot out of Jackson Dart. He played that CEO role as an offensive-minded coach who tried to CEO. He did some of those things, but where did he really fail? He did not hire the right defensive coordinator. He did not have an elite DC to coach this team. When Brian Daboll was successful in 2022, He had the orchestrating factor on the offensive side of the ball, and he had a defensive coordinator who was arguably elite at the time in Wink Martindale. So again, that to me is the formula. It's a coach who's an elite offensive mind who hires the best defensive coordinator that is available right now. Again, look at the Vikings, look at the 49ers, look at all of these other teams that are consistently making playoff runs or have, you know, a well-regarded coaching staff. I know the Vikings obviously are not going to the playoffs this year, but they've been tremendous under Kevin O'Connell for years. Even the Browns, Alex, I think we just talked about this with Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski's a great offensive mind. He took, he had two 11-win seasons with Cleveland. He took Joe Flacco to the playoffs. He went to the playoffs with terrible quarterbacks twice just because he can manage the offense. But what did he have as a common denominator throughout his entire run in Cleveland? An elite defensive coordinator. So that to me feels like it's the formula. Again, it's only one of many formulas, and obviously everybody knows, if you've been keeping up with our kind of intel here on the head coaching race for the Giants, I'm a big Shula guy. I want Chris Shula. I think Chris Shula makes the most sense for the Giants. I think he's a great defensive mind, and I think that he would be able to hire an elite offensive coordinator, so you could do it that way too. But if I'm looking at the top staffs across the league, Alex, this is the argument that you make for Clint Kubiak. The top coaching staffs in the league, they have an elite offensive mind as the head coach, and then they hire the best defensive coordinator for the job. And I think that would be an ideal formula for the Giants, because if you have a DC who just has to worry about only the defense, not a head coach that has to worry about the defense and the offense, but you have an elite defensive coordinator, what does this season look like for the Giants? Realistically, asking you this question, if the Giants had Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator this season, let's just use him as an example, Steve Spagnuolo, whoever, DC running this show on the defensive side of the ball, while Kafka and Dable were still running the offense, how many wins does this team have by the end of the season?
Well, let's look through them. The Cowboys, you lose 40-37. That's probably a win. We lose to the Saints 26-14. I mean, obviously the offense just died after the first half, so maybe we still lose that game. The Broncos 33-32, we win that game. The Bears 24-20, we win that game. The Packers 27-20, you might win that game. The Lions 34-27, you might win that game. The Commanders 29-21, you might win that game too. The Vikings 16-30, there might be 6 or 7 wins on this schedule that, you know, the Giants may be a 9 or 10 win team if we have a, you know, bargain bin defensive coordinator they found at a Wendy's parking lot. So like that's kind of where I'm thinking right now. Like you, and that's why I'm on the same train as you. If you can get a Shula or a Halfley or a defensive mastermind and that plan for Jackson Dart is ironclad, you pull the trigger, because that defense is a difference maker. I know that, you know, the Kubiak other side of it is an interesting debate. And if he has a great DC pick, like if Jim Schwartz becomes available and Stefanski gets fired, and you get Stefanski, hell yeah. Like a Kubiak Schwartz combo, hell yeah. Like that's awesome. So like that's something that's exciting. But a lot of good offensive minds from the coaching trees have been emerging as of late. So maybe it won't be as difficult to find one of those pieces. But again, it's a wait and see process right now. There's a lot of good candidates. That's the thing. There's a lot of good candidates. And I think the Giants have cast quite a wide net. Now we just have to pray they make the right decision, which I am not so optimistic about until proven otherwise.
Yeah, you're telling me. We'll see about that. I mean, listen, this is, again, an update video adding two more names to this now tall list. It's not a short list anymore. It's now a tall list as the Giants keep adding names to the list. But Kubiak, you guys now know where we stand on him. We really like him, and we think that he could be an innovative head coach hiring. I think Kubiak has sky-high potential. Salah, I'm not in on. I don't want Salah, but if you guys disagree, I definitely want to hear your argument for Salah down below in the comment section. But again, these are only two more names. Tomorrow, it's the regular season finale. We'll have a reaction video to that game tomorrow after the game concludes, and then it's going to be Black Monday in the NFL. That's the big day that we've been waiting for. Is Joe Shane safe indeed, as all of the insiders and reporters have indicated that he is? And who are they officially going to start bringing in for interviews? We will find that out pretty early on next week. I would bet you they start getting interviews done by Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So it's going to be a really fun week. Make sure that you are tuned in here on Fireside Giants, because we are dedicated to giving you every piece of information regarding the New York Giants head coaching search. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed, subscribe if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. Listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.